Portion. So we're moving on tonight to Revelation chapter 15, and we're looking at the, most of the chapter here this evening. So let's turn to God's Word, Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.
Well, I hope that you are enjoying these readings in the book of Revelation. Remember that there is a promise of double blessing for those that read this book. So, open it, get the book out, and read it. Here today we were in chapter 15, and we're going to learn of the saints in victory, in blessing, standing on that glassy sea, and they are enjoying the victory of the Savior. I hope that here in this world that every Christian will enjoy more and more of the victory of the Lord in their lives. And praise God, no matter what battles, no matter what foes we face, there is victory for the Christian. And I want you to enjoy that. I want you to enter into that. And so I trust that you will stay tuned with us right through the message as we preach here on Revelation chapter 15. Now remember, this is the most encouraging book in the Bible. We do not want to make it into a weird thing or something that is fantastic and wonders and signs and mysteries. No, we're trying to preach the truth and the sure certain facts that we find here in this book. And they are enough to lay a wonderful foundation for our faith, both now, today, tomorrow, and for eternity. Praise God, Jesus is coming again. He's coming for his church. He's coming in power and in glory. And I trust that you will be ready. Stay tuned now for the message from Revelation chapter 15.
Father, we pray tonight for the comfort of the Lord, for those who do sorrow. We thank thee that the Christian does not sorrow as others without hope, but rather we know that there is a glorious resurrection day, that there is life beyond the grave, We thank thee that tonight that we may get a little window into eternity and into heaven, our home. We pray thee to encourage our hearts and cause your grace to fill our hearts as we speak on these things tonight. Give unction, give an utterance, give help, I pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're turning then to Revelation 15 and to these opening verses, and you will see this picture of the sea of glass, of those who have gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, and they stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. They sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, and they announce glory to the King of Saints. Did you ever wonder how soldiers get some sleep in the midst of the battlefield? I think that you and I would need more than just earplugs if there was gunfire all around us and it was time for us to try and sleep. There's a story of General Montgomery, Monty as he was called. He was a British general. He fought in the First World War and the Second World War, became famous for leading the British 8th Battalion in North Africa at the Battle of El Alamein, and routed the Nazis and the Italians in a massive tank battle. And there's a story of him on the night that he placed his army in position and the tanks in position, and he gave the hour and the signal to begin firing, that he withdrew to his tent and he slept soundly until the morning. Could you do that? Even in the midst of warfare, we need rest. And in these verses, especially 1-4, we have in the midst of the battle between heaven and hell, this scene of wonderful rest. Now, if we go back to chapter 12 and verse 7 to 13, you'll see here that there is this war. And the war began in heaven. Chapter 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So there is the reference to the dragon that we learned about last week, that satanic trinity. You have the dragon who gave power to the first beast rising out of the sea, and then you have the other beast that rises up out of the land. And you have this satanic trinity cast out of heaven, and there was no more place for them in heaven. Verse 8. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, we would call them demons, fallen angels, were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And then at the end of verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so that's the warfare that we are in. And that is the battle that the Church of Christ has faced and raged all the while. This awful enemy, this dragon, this enemy of Christ is come to make war with the saints. And that's why there are the martyrs. That's why people lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus and are willing to suffer for him. But God also knows that we need rest, and we need that period of freedom and recuperation from the battle. And in this chapter 15, verses 2-4, we get a little sense of heaven. We get an opening into the saints that had conquered. Did you notice in verse 2, chapter 15, that it refers to them that had gotten the victory over the beast? So they were on earth, they did warfare on earth, they got the victory over the devil, over the beast, and they're now in heaven, and they're standing on the crystal sea as glass. They are victors, conquerors, and they are living in the presence of God with a wonderful peace and a wonderful blessedness in their souls. That's the sight that we are given to look at tonight. And then there are the sounds. They sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. So we're going to deal with these two things tonight, the sights and the sounds of the saints, the victorious saints in heaven. So in verse 2, we see these saints dwelling on a sea of glass mingled with fire. Let's just read that. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And then at the end of the verse, that they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, this is clear glass. And the text that I would back that up with is Revelation 21:18. And it talks about the building of the New Jerusalem. And we read there that the building of the wall is of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, this makes for a very huge difference between the saints in heaven and how they see things, and we on earth, how we see things. The Apostle Paul said that we see through a glass darkly. There are things that in our lives are unanswerable. We don't get the full picture. They are obscured. But in heaven, those that stand on this sea of glass as victors singing and praising the Lamb, they see clearly. There is great clarity. Now, I back that up with verse 4 in chapter 15, where it says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, and all nations shall come and worship before thee." For, now the end of verse 4 is what we're focusing on. So if you just point right to the end of verse 4, where it says, "For thy judgments are made manifest." Now that means they are disclosed. It's like the reading of a will. And when someone makes a will, they register it or they sign it off with a lawyer, and it's locked up until the day of reading. And then when the person perhaps passes on from this world, the will is opened and read, and all those things are disclosed. And likewise in heaven, these saints, they are praising God because his judgments are made manifest. They are given perfect knowledge, wonderful understanding of the ways or the judgments of God, and they praise him for his wisdom, for his righteousness, and these are wonderful things. And so in heaven there is this clarity. They see through a clear glass, not the dark glass that we are subject to. And so we learn that in heaven we will know one another. Yes, we will know one another. We will see our family members. We will see our neighbors. We will see our church family there in heaven. And I pray that everyone that's here tonight, that you are redeemed and that we will see one another in heaven. We might sit beside each other. We might fellowship together. We will have greater knowledge of each other in heaven. In fact, you'll know things about me, and I'll know things about you that we would never divulge on earth. But on that great day, they will be disclosed. There will be a massive change in our understanding. And then also the great questions of life will be answered. Bitter disappointments will be explained. And God's ways will be disclosed. I want to come back to that verse again and just rivet your mind on that. for thy judgments are made manifest. Those things that to us tonight, they're inexplicable. We can't answer. And we have many questions. Now, God in this world treats us as pilgrims, and we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And there are commands, and there are providences that we follow here on earth, and we can't give full answers. But on that great day, those things will be answered. The things that here on earth are scrambled. They are jumbled in our eyes. But when we are in heaven, they will be jaw-dropping clear. And we will say, okay, I get it. I was so blind. I was so far off the mark. I could never wrap my head around that. But here it is. It's all so wonderfully clear. And we will lift up our praise and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for closing that door. Thank you for stopping me there. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for your providence in my life. And we will worship God, praising him for his wonderful judgments that are right and good and blessed to our souls. Now, there are many big questions that here on earth we don't answer. For example, why a missionary going to take the gospel to a people ends up losing his life taking the gospel to the people he's trying to win for Christ? And I'm thinking of Jim Elliot and his friend Nate Saint, who went to Ecuador to the Awka people, and they had a little light aircraft which crashed somewhere. It was discovered later, 1996, and five men, there just weren't two of them, there were a total of five of them, who were missionaries to those people, and they were speared to death. Now, if you read the account of it, you'll find that that event spurred a great missionary thrust to reach those lost tribes. Elizabeth Elliot and Rachel Saint eventually went back to witness to the very people that killed their husbands. It is a great missionary story. But we still don't know the reason why those men had to lose their lives. On that great day, such things will be made clear. It will be revealed why children that were so promising were taken from us. The hand of death took away that little child in whom we had many hopes, and those things will be answered. It will be answered and revealed also why Christians in this world must suffer. And we know the story of Job. At the depths of his darkest hour, he had no answers. He could not explain why God caused him to suffer. Now, the book of Job completes the story and gives us many answers at the end. God had a purpose and a reason. And in heaven, the answers will be revealed. Why providences in this world were so odd and contrary to our desires, and why God shut the door to what we really wanted to do, what we were convinced was right and good, God stopped it, brought it to nothing. And in this world, we do not always know, nor do we need to know. God calls us to walk by faith. But one day it is going to be explained. And those who got the victory over the enemy on that day, over the beast, they shall stand on that sea of crystal glass in perfect peace and in perfect agreement with God's ways. Christians on earth can sometimes have a controversy with God and say, why? And we complain, why, God, did you do that? And we maybe never really get it out of our system. We're so embittered by it. But saints in heaven will be in absolute agreement with what God has done in our lives. In Psalm 36, we read, "Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord." We can't explain God's ways in every area. There's a text in John 13, verse 7 that says, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." I remember reading the biography of T.T. Shields, the pastor of Jarvis Street Baptist Church in Toronto. As a pastor, he was called upon to visit a young couple who had lost their baby. And as he went into the apartment and went up the elevator to their apartment room, God gave him that text. He brought that text to his mind to share with that young couple as they had lost their infant. And he, as a pastor, had no answers. He couldn't tell them why this had to be. But he shared with them that very verse, which did comfort them. "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." We do not know the answers here, but in heaven we will get answers. And heaven will declare the hidden things of life. And as I emphasize, we will be in perfect agreement. There will be no controversies with God in heaven. There will be no complaints in heaven. Our minds and hearts will be fully attuned to God's goodness and grace, and we will praise him for it. That's the sight that we see of these who have gotten the victory over the beast, and they worship the Lord. Now, we also see that these saints are esteemed as overcomers in this world. Now, you have to read this very carefully, because it says about them in verse 2, "them that had gotten the victory over the beast." So obviously that was life on earth. There's no beast in heaven. He's cast out. The dragon was put out. He'll never be in heaven again. There's no beast in glory. So this victory that they got over the beast was during their earthly lives, during their lives of living for Christ as Christians. And they did it in the past before entering heaven. But now that they're in heaven, they are as heroes. They are known as those who had gotten the victory. Their fight, their good fight of faith on earth, is now recognized and rewarded. And they are considered as loyal and faithful to God. Now notice the number of things that they got the victory over. It says here they had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. That would be idolatry. To worship an image would be idolatry. That's basic. That's against the very first commandment, "Thou shalt worship no other God," or the other commandment, "Thou shalt make no other any likeness of God." And so they got the victory over the Antichrist, over the beast. I might pause a moment and say that this is the Antichrist. You remember the dragon? And he gives his power to the beast. That's the one who comes up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. He's the counterpart, the opposite to Christ himself. Then there was the beast that came up out of the sea, and he was the great deceiver. He is the counterpart of the Holy Spirit. That's satanic trinity. And so these who had gotten the victory over the beast is over the Antichrist, over his image, and then also over his mark. They did not submit to become loyal to that evil system. They were loyal to Christ. And then one more thing, they got victory over the number of his name, 666. And that, of course, is the number by which they traded. The mark of the beast. And, of course, the idea was that no one would trade, no one would be able to prosper in this world unless they received the mark of the beast, unless they followed his directives. But these saints, these who are now in heaven, standing on the sea of glass, they've got a name and a reputation. These are conquerors. These who are loyal to Christ. They have got the victory over all of those forces that would lead them away from serving the Lord. And so it's a good thing to be loyal to Christ. And let us be ready to take our stand. Whatever forces, pressures come upon us, it might be many things that would just weaken our Christian witness, that would distract us from being worshipers of the Lord Jesus. Let us renounce those things. Let us resist those things. And let us seek that reputation that we have gotten the victory over the beast.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. It is a good thing to be loyal to the Lord Jesus, to know him, to serve him, and of course, to make sure that your trust is in his saving power. One day he shall come again. And if you have rejected him here on earth, if you have renounced the simplicity, the power of the gospel here in this world, then you will not be in Christ, saved by his blood and a part of his kingdom, but rather you will be cast out. You will have no part in that eternal life. And this is the confidence of every child of God, that as we trust him and look to him, obey him, and put our faith in his work at the cross, that when he comes again, it will no longer be a cross, it will be a crown. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if you have not yet bowed the knee or called on the Lord to be your Savior, I want to encourage you to do so even now today. Believe, trust, rest in the Lord Jesus. Go to texts like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and you will be saved.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.